In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment had every reason to be overwhelming and completely disheartening. The nation of Israel had long considered itself God's people. But because of their wayward rebellion, the refusal to listen to the prophets of the Lord and live by the word of the Lord, the Lord of the nations had allowed them and their land to be devastated by a conquering army. As the prophet Jeremiah looked out over the rubble of that jewel of the ancient world, the city of Jerusalem, and even upon God's very own precious temple, he had every reason to believe that it was all over. God had spoken. God had challenged. God had condemned. God had promised destruction. And after all that warning, now God had acted. Now it was done. There was no human earthly reason for Jeremiah or any of the people to whom he was speaking God's word to believe there was any hope of turning back. This desolation was deserved. Elsewhere in these lamentations, as they're called, these statements of mourning of the prophet Jeremiah, he would make this unavoidably clear. The worst of all human calamities, human beings bring upon themselves. Every single one of us has deserved them, whether we are ready to admit it or not. And so it should absolutely stun us that here in the middle of lamentations, expressions of grief and mourning over what was and what has become and how painful it all is, we have a statement of joy in such a desperate moment. Here the prophet takes the focus off the human atrocities that surrounded him and places the focus back on the Savior God, his word and his promises, his compassion and his mercy and his faithfulness. And in doing so, in an exceptionally desperate moment, there is an immediate injection of hope in a seemingly hopeless moment. Let's look at those words from Jeremiah again, from his lamentations. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion, so great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. In the painful, lost, worst, most desperate and challenging moments of our life, to whom do we turn? To fellow human beings? How do we expect them to have the kind of answers needed? Certainly not to history. For every world-leading nation of history also lies in rubble. Not to philosophy or speculation, but to the Lord. Why? Well, the prophet tells us, because it is only on account of his great love that we are not consumed and his compassions never fail. Wow. Without the Lord's compassion, Jeremiah assures us, without God's love in the balance, against every human nonsense and every human failure, we simply have nothing, absolutely nothing to hope for, ever, in any way. Consumed is the word he uses here, and it is so accurate. It puts it well. Completely and profoundly lost without God. Devoured by God's justice, condemned by his judgment, there is nothing else to say without God interjecting himself into the human debacle, and that we're simply done. Nothing left. But the prophet says, right here, we don't need to wait long to discover God's faithfulness. Expressed through his mercy, his faithfulness, his compassion. It says we only need to wait till the new day. For every single morning, God's forgiveness and love are unconditional. His gift of perfection and righteousness in Christ is complete. It's all-encompassing. It answers every question, every need, every pain, every element of our brokenness. The prophet's ultimately telling us if we're living and breathing, if we have life in our body, we have hope. We have hope because God's compassion, his forgiveness, his faithfulness is still aimed at us with his power and his promises. And if that new day is a dawning in heaven for us, well, we know this faithfulness in full. Jeremiah says it here with poetry, but he says it. The Lord is my answer, my best answer, my only answer when he says he is my portion. And he insists, I will wait for him. In fact, Jeremiah takes it all a step further. Do you see that here? He actually says it's good for us to experience these kind of challenges. It's good for us to experience pain, suffering, unhappiness. Huh. He says it's good for us to have that challenge to be focused on the Lord as our only answer. He even says it's good for us to have to wait for it. Wait for the Lord's saving answers. Oh, how we struggle with that reality, with that advice. Because we live in an instant relief from any kind of pain or unpleasantness kind of world. Anything that causes us pain, anything that causes us difficulty or challenge, anything that reminds us of our brokenness, we want it gone as quickly as it has entered into our lives. No question asked. Give me that pill. Give me that device. Point me in that relationship that solves my problem now, today, in this moment. That's what we're all about. But the Lord often has a different answer. And in these verses of Lamentations, he makes it clear that the Lord considers his different answer to always be a better answer. An eternally better answer. And notice how in these verses, he also makes sure to point this sentiment specifically at the young. Those of us who have seen a little bit more of life have come to realize how often in life these moments come along. They are more frequent than we like to admit. But when you're young, and you're experiencing those big challenges, those big losses, those big sources of pain for the first time, you're certain that you're facing the worst moment ever. Nothing could possibly be worse. It is good for us to learn some patience early in life. The more life we live, the more challenges we face, the more frequent we realize they are, and the more often we find that forgiveness and that faithfulness and that compassion of God and the deliverance of His answers from our dilemmas, we come to realize it is so much a part of our lives. That just like Jeremiah did, we come to realize objectively things could always be worse. That's really what Jeremiah is saying in these verses, and it's hard for us to hear. But doesn't it ever occur to you? Doesn't it ever happen to you in those challenging moments of life, pain, loss, sorrow, whatever it might be? You've been wronged, or it's your own wrong that's caused it? Have you ever been led to ask the question, could this be worse? And then follow that up with the exercise of thinking through for yourself how it would be or could be actually worse. That the Lord has actually spared you some of the consequences of your choices, or spared you the full playing out of the situation to its ultimate detriment if it was at the hands of someone else. But the Lord has played a role in blunting the disaster, to making sure you can see a light at the end of the tunnel. So as the prophet is standing there, he's thinking, it could be worse. The Lord could have completely turned his back on his promised people because they had turned their back on him. Everything about their interaction with God in the promised land was all about preparing this people to bring forth the Messiah. But despite all of God's warnings, despite the overwhelming immorality and idolatry and rebellion against God, God has taken a segment, a remnant of his people, off into exile in a place where he will keep them encapsulated as faithful believers concentrating on his word, looking to that word for answers as he scours the actual geographic location that was their promised land of all of that immorality and disobedience and idolatry that had overwhelmed it. Promising that one day they would go back there, not just to have their homeland again, but far more importantly, for the full culmination of the promises of his son, the Messiah, playing themselves out completely in that land now freed from all of that disaster. So the hope of the moment for Jeremiah was not a hope in any human endeavor, any human answer, any human help. There was no way any human being was going to make anything better in that moment. No, but hope in God, who alone can assure us of a better day, a better future ahead, was what Jeremiah pointed himself to and anyone willing to listen. In our own similar moments of testing and suffering, we need to remember the many places in the Word that our Lord reminds us that He has the ability to fix anything, to solve anything, to stop anything from happening to us in any given moment, but rather that He chooses, though, to allow us to experience moments we would never choose for ourselves, to strengthen us in our understanding of His faithfulness, His compassion, His power, and His promises. Jeremiah even takes it here in this moment, in these verses, in a direction we would prefer not to even think about. But Jeremiah had personally experienced it, so it's not a surprise that he brings it up in this moment in regard to hope and how things could be worse. The prophet speaks of physical violence and abuse that may be any believer's humbling, painful reality of any given moment, and how even that could be allowed by God as part of his plan. in the moment for us to grow and become more focused and objective. That's hard for us to hear. As we live day to day in a world that is more unhappy with those who openly live their Christianity, speak truth to wrong, actually label sin for what it is, speak of a God who loves and guides and speaks to every element of our lives in a way that makes us better only if we're following Him and listening to Him. But that in and of itself should remind us of the price paid by our Savior God. Who could ever claim any mistreatment worse than what Jesus experienced? But it's the why He experienced it that is really the most important to the issue of the moment here. He volunteered Himself to the most vile, inhumane, spiritual and physical mistreatment as payment for our sins. He took all of it into Himself, experienced it in full, so that He could guarantee that you and I would not experience it forever. The worst of what human beings inflict upon each other and on themselves is just a tiny little measure of what hell will be all about. And in Jesus taking the worst, even the abandonment of His own Father, in His experience of suffering and death, He has taken into Himself the worst of all possibilities in a way that has freed us from ever having to fear. In other words, it's all about suffering for an eternal salvation outcome. Every day, everywhere, the eternal God is fully involved, fully knowledgeable of every ounce of pain and suffering and persecution that every human being is experiencing, and He's allowing it in His own measure for an eternal outcome, an eternal purpose, someone's salvation. It's important for us to remember that. Jeremiah experienced that persecution because of his role as a prophet of the word. His persecution, his physical and spiritual torture, was specifically because he was chosen by God from childhood, set apart to be God's one lone voice to a nation that was supposedly God's nation that didn't want to hear a word that He had to say, to the point where, standing in chains before the king of that nation, Jeremiah had to witness as he took the scroll of Jeremiah's prophecy and unrolled it a bit at a time, sliced it off, and burned it in the smudge pot to just show Jeremiah the contempt that he had for the word of God and the messenger of God that had brought that word to him. It was specifically for the reason that Jeremiah was God's chosen instrument that he was mistreated so egregiously. So again, let's take a step back for a moment and examine this against our own life experience. Do we see God using our moments of testing and pain, even persecution, as His tools to strip away our silly pride or our self-righteous tendencies and teach us true humility and reliance on Him alone? Sure He does. And when He does, we are in the middle of such an episode, it's impossible for us to find perspective. We struggle so. And that's why the word of the Lord, through the direction of the Holy Spirit, has so many words of prophecy and promise such as this, to bring us back around to understanding God's approach, God's perspective, God's promises. In our own such moments, we also need to find perspective. But most importantly, we need the Word and the Spirit behind that Word to lead us back to a Savior God who is always faithful, always compassionate. His mercies are new every morning. But trust is an elusive and complicated thing. Will you trust Jeremiah's encouragement this morning just because it's a man of God telling you what you should do? Maybe, maybe not. But do you encounter here today a word of God that prompts you to test the faithfulness and the compassion of your Lord? Clearly. And when you find yourself in a moment of testing and trial, break it down the way Jeremiah broke it down here. Follow his pattern. See if it works for you as well as it worked for him. Ask yourself honestly, is this really the worst situation ever? Is this moment actually going to challenge or cost me my eternal salvation? Then from there, prayerfully examine the promises and the saving work of your Savior God, who you're told here his mercies are new every morning. The prophet believes that you're listening to God's word, his direction, his promises will warm your heart, encourage and comfort your soul, and assure you that you have a faithful, compassionate, merciful God who loves you and desires the best eternal outcome for you. No matter what might be going on, any day, ever. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.